I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. Hey guys, welcome back. Romy Rosemont is the definition of a working actor. She's got a resume a mile long and has been a working actor for years. You may not have recognized her, but she's appeared in 8 zillion shows and films since 1990. She was even recurring on CSI. Well, now I'm sure you're going to recognize her. She plays Finn's mom on the hit show Glee. We talk about how she's maintained her career, agent hunting, and yes, Glee.
How did you get your start?
Oh my gosh. I mean, to be honest, it was something I always knew that I wanted to do, which was act. But after I graduated Northwestern, I really wasn't, I just didn't know where I fit in. So I went and I worked at ICMCAA, Chief of Talent Agencies, for almost 2 years. And then it just kind of came time that I was like, I got to do this. And I quit, and through kind of like a homemade audition tape that I had someone who worked in an agency called Triad, which is named Angie, a long, long time ago, and she hip pocketed me, and then kind of from there, I just started slowly getting jobs, and I did this. I got Taft Hartley in a horror film called Bad Dreams. I can't remember who's in it. I know Dean Cameron was in it.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that the director was Andy Fleming, who's great, Andrew Fleming.
Oh, okay.
And then joined the union in this one of those kinds of movies that are foreign financed, you know, and cost like $1.50 to make, but that they do really well in Europe. And that actually was directed by John Turteltaub. Funny enough, I think it was like the very first thing he ever did.
Wow.
You know, he was looking for his start too. And I knew the producer, and he was a friend of my brother's, and so, you know, hired me to do a little thing. And then just slowly, I started to get work, and then, you know, I would get an agent, or, you know, I mean, I've never been one for, I've always been a late bloomer, so it's never been a big bang. It's always been a nice, steady trickle.
So you said you were hip-pocketed. How did you find that that first agent, just through your contacts at CAA where you worked?
No, it was actually through a friend of mine, and a mutual friend had a friend over there, and she kind of showed them this mock, or, you know, this kind of homemade audition tape that I actually made for Saturday Night Live. It was made in my parents', you know, condo in Century City. I mean, it could not have been more homemade, and it was all improvised, and it was probably terrible, but she was like, well, I think it was kind of funny. And so she just did, you know, for like a couple of years, and then I got a couple of jobs, and that allowed me at least to have enough something when Triad didn't want to sign me because they were such a huge agency. I mean, Triad basically, William Morris wound up absorbing Triad, you know, I don't know how many years ago. But it was a really big agency. I mean, it was, you know, they represented Bruce Willis and, I a lot of people. I think at the time, which was the late 80s, I would say, or early 90s, you know, it was one of the bigger ones. I think there was like 3 big ones. It was Triad, ICM, William Morris, and CAA. So it was just, you know, I didn't make a lot of noise, but they got me out on some stuff. And I think whether it was feedback, they just kept working for me. And then when it was past the time that they felt that they could do anything, you know, because I don't really come with bells and whistles. I mean, you know, especially being a character actor.
Uh-huh.
Character actors, you always find, they actually work more as they get older. And I'm, you know, what I believe I do well is I'm the every woman.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the person you know, I'm your neighbor, I'm your friend, I'm, you know. So I think I had to grow into that, you know, because a lot of the times when you're younger, they either want you to be the ingenue or they want you to be the character actor that looks a certain way, and I was never that person. So I think I kind of grew into my acting.
Most people read the site say that they want to be, I just want to be a working actor, and you've done that. You've worked steadily pretty much, you know, your whole career. So how did it get that way for you? I mean, is it a combination of finding that great agent and your hard work, or is it more you than your agent?
No, I mean, honestly, I think it's the relationships you build. I happen to have a fantastic agent and team now. You know, I really do believe at this point, people definitely have to get you in the rooms. But it's kind of your reputation and your work. And I think, you know, you get to know, casting people get to know you, so they call you in. Mm-hmm. And I know a good portion of my, a lot of jobs I've gotten, my managers actually called me and said, hey, do you know any of these people? And I either say yes or no. And it actually happened on a couple of things. And then I wound up getting them. And, you know, I think that it is about relationships. Because on a couple of my jobs that I booked, casting people wouldn't see me.
Wow.
And then my managers, you know, called and said, do you know any of these people? And I said, actually, I know that person. You know, I know the writer. Or I know, you know, like I knew him from class. Or I, you know, because it's interesting kind of who you start out with. And then all of a sudden someone goes the way of acting, or someone goes the way of producing, or writing, or whatever, or executive. And if I feel that I really am right and can make something unique from the audition, from the part, then I'll say, well, I'll make the call. If it's just trying to get me in a room, then, you know, you don't want to use up those favors. And so, you know, I think that you've got to be, you can't just wait for the phone to ring, you can't just wait for your agent to do it all, because they're not going to do it. Because they've got tons more clients. I mean, they just have a ton of clients. I really do think that for it to really work, it's got to be a collaborative thing. You know, you've got to provide them, in my opinion, you've got to provide them with also information, because especially kind of now, or in the past, let's say, 5 years or, you know, or so, they don't know the relationships I have, so I kind of give them the information, or the fans that I know that are of mine that are out there, as far as the executives or casting people, and then they go from there. You know, I mean, I definitely believe that now it's the job of my agents to convince the casting people that know me to broaden their vision of me. Because a lot of the times people think that they know what you can do, and they don't.
How many agents or managers did you have till you found, you know, I guess the ones you're working with now, like the, you know, the right one, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, I've had probably three managers, maybe, but agents I've definitely had a handful. I mean, I haven't, you know, I just signed with these agents, it'll be 2 years. And I'm very, very happy with them. They're an amazing agency. Domain is there, is the name of it. And they're young, and they're sharp, and, you know, and smart and kind, and they get it. And that's not to say that prior to that I didn't have that. It's just, you know, you kind of change. It's almost like from a woman's perspective, when you change hairstylists, just because you want someone to kind of view your hair differently. It really does come to the, you know, there are certain times where you change. Where you change representation because you want to shake it up a bit. Not because there's necessarily something lacking, but you just need a different perspective.
Let's talk about Glee for a minute. So how did you get the part, and when you got it, or when you were auditioning for it, did you know that it would be recurring?
I knew that it had the possibility of recurring, because when I was asked to audition for it, I'd worked with Ryan Murphy on Nip Tuck, which had been years prior. And, you know, he's such a kind and sweet man. I was actually originally called in to audition for Jane Lynch's part, which I knew I would never get. And then when they called me back and said, will she audition for this? And there was no lines in the pilot. So I was like, there's no lines. What do you mean? You want me to audition for it? And they said, you know, just come in and read some material from something else. And Ryan promises that she will recur in the show. And I said, okay. You know, I mean, if that's what he says, I trust that. And he really is such a loyal man, and he's such a man of his word. And I just, you know, I trusted that. And went in and auditioned and got it, and he let me have a little bit of fun in the pilot, just with, you know, improvising situations. But, you know, it's such a quick thing, and the various things that he's allowed, you know, have been kind of quick, that the development of this character, I think he knows better than even I do.
Yeah.
Because it's been in his head, and not necessarily, you know, hasn't reached paper. But, you know, he's definitely been true to his word, and I think that there's a lot of growth that can happen with this character. You know, I mean, it's an incredible show that has a ton of people, and, you know, I think that she offers a different perspective, you know, to especially for an audience. You know, I think she's a wonderful addition. That character's a wonderful addition for the every woman to relate to.
Well, the show is a huge hit, and even though you've only been like, what, 8, 9 episodes? I'm not quite sure. But how has it affected your career? Are you getting offers to do more things from that?
You know, I've actually only done 5. I'm actually, of last season, and now they've recurred, but I actually just finished last night a Private Practice, episode of Private Practice that I got offered. Which, you know, I got the offer, and I was like, what? Are you sure? So I don't know if it came from Glee or not. You know, I won't question it, but people were definitely more familiar with that. And it's not like, I mean, I recurred on CSI for 3 years. You know, it was one of the lab tests. I did 14 episodes, and I never got work out of that. So I think it's just, you know, I think it's this character. I think it's kind of the marrying of me to the character. Whatever that chemistry is, for some reason, I've struck a nerve for the 40-year-old woman.
Oh.
Where, you know, I mean, it's...
You play it perfectly, I mean...
Oh, thank you. I mean, you know, it's really fun, and what I love is that it's really real. You know, you kind of believe it all, and hopefully, and there are no fears that they're going to continue to develop her and hopefully develop the relationship with Michael Mallory, though, you know, who knows? You never know what's up their sleeves. The creators of Glee are just, they're unique, and they really are so creative and so... I mean, I definitely would be a fan of the show, whether or not I was on it or not.
I've always wondered this. You've been on a bunch of shows where, you know, you said CSI and now Glee, where you're a recurring character. How far in advance do you know that you're going to work on the show? Like, if you want to take a vacation, or, you know, if you book another show, how does that work?
Usually, if you book another show, you let them know.
Uh-huh.
For example, right now, I'm going to be doing an episode of... there's probably going to be a couple of episodes of Glee, which I'm going to be in, but I booked a few days on this movie, but Glee gets precedence, so they just try to work it out. But you technically don't, you know, I'm still on the open market. So you, out of respect to them, definitely, you let them know what's up. So if you get a job, you let them know that you got the job, and... You know, and you find out if they're planning on it. And they usually let you know a couple of weeks in advance, but there's definitely no planning of, I mean, I was actually in New York and found out that I was working and had to come back. So, you know, but that's the life of the actor. And, you know, we're grateful to come back because it means we get to do what we do. And we don't get to do it as often as we like anyway.
Yeah. Usually if I start taking a vacation, that's when I start getting a lot of auditions, you know.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, yeah. It's absolutely amazing. Whenever you're very busy is when you get auditions.
Absolutely.
Or you bought a plane ticket. Exactly. Yeah. They've actually plunked down the money for a plane ticket. That's amazing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, you are, you're married to Stephen Root, one of the best...
I am.
One of the best character actors around. Now, this isn't so much of a question, but I just wanted to say how much I love his work. I mean, for me, he instantly makes something he's in better, so...
Oh, thank you. I will relay that to him. I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I learn a lot from watching him.
Have you guys worked to work together?
You know, we've never actually, I mean, we actually did an episode of CSI, but never together. And we're going to actually both be in the Kevin Smith movie, but we won't be working together. I mean, it would be a lot of fun to work together, but, you know, we'll, hopefully that's somewhere down the road.
What's your advice to actors, either, you know, starting out or you know, whose careers just kind of, you know, just aren't sort of to the level where they want, you know?
I think, you know, I mean, I say this to any actor who is starting to pursue it. It's like, you've got to love it more than anything else. You've got to want it more than anything else, because the what you have to suffer for it, so to speak, and give up, and the sacrifices you have to make, you know, are big. I mean, just in all the survival jobs, really take kind of crap jobs, and I've done so many crap jobs, it's unbelievable. But you kind of have to throw your ego away and just nose to the grindstone and want it. And And, you know, and I believe it's okay to get discouraged because we're human, but then you just kind of brush yourself up and you get up the next day and say, you know what, I still want it, and I'm going to still go get it. And the thing is, it can all change on a dime. It can all change on a dime, and that's so bizarre about this business. You know, it usually is, you go to law school, you become a lawyer. You go to med school, you become a doctor. You will be actually doing what you were schooled to do. But in any kind of profession, as an artist, you're not guaranteed work. And so, you know, that's where I believe that persistence and tenacity, you know, wins out a lot. And there's definitely, it comes a time where, you know what, I don't want to sacrifice anymore. And so you go and you do something else. But until that time, I think that that it's so important to just keep that passion alive and know that this is what you were meant to do. If you're doing it to become famous, I don't understand that kind of that approach to it.
Yeah.
Then that's reality shows. But I think if you really want to become an actor, if you can support yourself in other ways, and acting is what you love, then you know you'll kind of find your way, or it'll find you.
You said you've done a lot of crap jobs. What was the worst survival job you had?
I went from working at, you know, to the biggest talent agencies to working at a 50s themed restaurant called Ed DeBevick's, which was very successful in Chicago and opened up in Los Angeles, where you were, you know, I was doing knee slides across the counter and dancing and wearing a 50s waitress's outfit and a huge starched bow with reflectors on it. But, you know, I mean, I started my own personal assistant business. So in doing the personal assistant business, you know, you're just taking care of other people's lives.
Yeah.
Doing people's errands. And I definitely created a business where I could have I was the boss of my hours. But, you know, it was up many a night, whether it was cleaning people's houses to doing their marketing and fetching their dry cleaners to doing their gift shopping and pretend, you know, and all those people would think that, oh, how sweet. You got a personal gift. And, you know, I'd been up, like, till all hours of the night wrapping them.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I did a lot of, you know, so I did a lot of that in house sitting and just any survival job. And as a keynote, PAing and casting director assistance. And, I mean, on sets, I was PAs, I'd been a stand-in, you know, helped in the wardrobe department. Just, that was when I was growing up. So, you know, a lot of waitressing tables,
oof,
a lot of waiting tables. And you know, but it was a means to an end. And that's not to, you know, I'm never one to say that, you know, I wouldn't go back because I love what I do and I want to do it more and I hope I'm given the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Romy, and thank you guys for listening. Hey, if you're listening on iTunes, please give us some ratings, love, and keep coming back to dailyactor.com for more great interviews, columns, and resources. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.